And now, back to Rolling Stone editor and publisher, Jan S. Wenner's exclusive interview with Bono.
Zooropa.
Wonderful, wild fling of an album. I mean, just grand madness. It's really a concept album, I suppose. Classic attack of Brian Eno's keyboards, this other world, sort of post-Bill Gibson, cityscapes described, and in the windows of these sort of Blade Runner type tall buildings, you see little vignettes, baby face. Slow down, child, won't you tie up your lace? How could beauty be so kind to an ordinary guy? You know, supermodels are friends. Naomi, Christy, Stay, perhaps the greatest U2 song.
Stay,
far away, so close.
But... what else about Zooropa? You say having a hell of a
a very experimental piece of work. Never turned Stay into the single it deserved to be.
But tell me why you think it's the greatest of the U2 songs. Stay.
Most extraordinary contour of a melody. It's really quite sophisticated. The lyric never misses. It's really an accurate portrait of the feeling it tends to. The reach and the grasp are not. They're there. And lyrically, it's a strong, very strong album. Zooropa, the song itself. And I have no map and I have no compass. I have no compass and I have no map. We were definitely heading into uncharted territory with the tour, with our band, and there was no telling if we would get back from this, and we very nearly didn't commercially.
Pop?
Supposed to be the return to pop from the experimental period that included Passengers and Zooropa. Discotheque was supposed to be what Sledgehammer was for Peter Gabriel, mm-hmm. i.e. earnest band with political overtones, kicks off their shoes for dancing ones. Kicks off their boots for dancing shoes, and it should have been Light on Its Feet. Great idea. Song Discotheque, it's a riddle about love. You can reach, but you can't grab it. Can't hold or control it, you can't bag it. Great idea for an album, but, and it wasn't the label that turned and said, but where's the single? It was us. That's where we just misfired, booked the tour before we finished the album, and wore out everyone involved in the album.
But Mofo?
Oh, amazing. Amazing. You know, 21st century Led Zeppelin, industrial barrage, and this industrial blues, looking for the save my soul, looking for the places where no flowers grow, looking for to fill that God-shaped hole. Mother sucking rock and roll. It's right out there.
Is that, you said that's the most personal written lyric you've ever read?
It is, because in the middle of it I'd speak to my mother, which occasionally would shock me in the middle of 80,000 people. And it goes right back to listening to John Lennon when I was the age she departed. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I've just realized. So, Imagine must be 1974.
The album that preceded Imagine is called the one with Mother on it.
Okay, well, that's the one.
Plastic Ono Band.
Okay, well, that's...
Is that the album you've been talking about?
No, Imagine I had two, but I had the Plastic Ono Band, and so I'm 14, and my mother is no longer around for that conversation.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I hit...
And that album comes out? That's the time that album comes out?
I'm listening to that album, listening to that song. Right. I'm also listening to Imagine, yes. So my version of that, it's almost the same language, is Mother... Am I still your son? You know, I've waited for so long to hear you say, Mother, I'm still a child. This is quite a funny line. It goes something like, I've grown, but now there's no one to tell me no. Sometimes you can check the lyric, but it's a wild thing to be saying to 80,000 of your closest friends.
And you relate this directly to that song he wrote, Mother?
Yes, totally. Just went right back, boom.
You had that in mind when you were writing it?
Yeah.
Well, let me then, I mean, you also have a couple other things that refer to your mother. I'll Follow,
mm-hmm.
Lemon, She's a Yellow. John.
It's a family business.
Also, father like songs, what that great song songs. Julia about his mother.
Right.
Half of What I Say to You is Meaningless. Also. I mean, so is there some ongoing resonance between you and John Lennon? I mean, you've already said that he, you know, he was the guy who stuck his head, you know, that's the guy.
Yeah, have a similar vocal range. And yeah, no, it's these are the...
You're both writing about your mom.
These are the guides, you know, your guiding lights. And...
Is there some special connection between the two of you beyond just the general guiding light?
I remember Yoko came up to me when I was in my 20s. And she put her hand on me and she says, you are John's son. And I don't know if he would be. I know Robert Hilburn reckons he would love what we're doing now. You know, the with our band and the politics and stuff like that.
Hilburn,
Bob Hilburn, yeah, said he just seemed to know John.
All But You Can't Leave Behind?
Great album. Really, a complete set of ideas. You know, it's a song about essence. It's an album about essence. The essential things. The things that and the casting away of the non-essential things and realizing what those essential things are. Family, friendship, you know, so it all adds up, which I like. Though I think the running order is a little odd.
But like this, now this is like back to the classic U2 sound.
Yeah. Because again, it's the ideas. With the same question you're asking philosophically, you ask musically. What is the essence of our band? What is it that we can, you know, can we live, you know, what is, if you boil it down, if you distill it, what do we have to contribute? Okay, for 10 years previous, we've been doing exactly the opposite. We've been thinking, what is it we don't have? And going after it. This, in order to keep it fresh, we say, well, what is it we do have? Let's go after that. We've done that for two albums now.
And they've been just incredibly successful.
Yeah.
Like Octoon Baby, the same, described the same thing Octoon Baby.
Well, Octoon Baby, again, wasn't, I mean, that sounded like...
Started it.
They thought that it's become us, but at the time people thought, who you sound like? You don't sound like U2 anymore. I mean, you've got to remember, Octoon Baby was a...
But in your own mind, you said, we're going to now address our own inside demons.
Oh, yes. But
and ourselves, not...
Yes, but we were chasing, flirting with things that were way out of our range up until that moment, and sonically and musically. Thematically, yes, mm-hmm. We're looking inside...
What was it intellect? What was it within the band that made it desirable to go back to the classic U2 sound now?
Because that was pop. I think, again, he's like a filmmaker. You know, what's the themes you're mm-hmm. going after? And I mean, I said to Brian, he said, what are you thinking about this now? I said, I just want to make a really raw record about the things you just cannot live without. And a really uncool album, I said mm-hmm. to him. And he said, what do you mean? I said, I want to write a song called I Love You. I said, there's never been one written in the English language. And there's, you know, she loves you, yeah, I love, baby, I love you. But there's no, I mean, in German, you'd be Kleber Dick. I never got to write that song. Although Daniel Anmar, coincidentally, did write a great song called I Love You a little later. But it was that kind of thing, you know, Beautiful Day. I mean, who's going to write a song called Beautiful Day? It's like you'd want to be unembarrassable. But, that's what we wanted to write, that kind of song. I think U2's often at its best when it dares to be uncool. It's just like, Beautiful Day, yeah. And
that's like that little happy face.
You know, it's just like, just print. I mean, even though the lyrics are twist and turn to get to that place. It's following the... Follow the logic of the themes to get to the sounds. And then, oddly enough, to get to the lyrics and the melodies, you go to the sounds, and out of them come the melodies and the lyrics.
And How to Dismantle Atomic Bomb?
Wanted to make, at first, go further with a rock album, almost like a punk rock album. Sci-fi punk rock was what we wanted to make originally. So we came directly off the tour into literally a burned-down basement in Monte Carlo, an old nightclub, and started working up Vertigo and All Because of You. But as usual, the punk rock thing, it doesn't sustain us. We're looking for other dimensions and feelings of, you know, it's supposed to be the big guitar album, and it kind of isn't
the big guitar album.
No.
But there's more guitars on
there's more guitars on it, but it could have gone, I mean, if you'd some of the songs we could have gone all the way with it, and maybe we should have gone all the way. We could have made a really dramatic guitar driven album, but we couldn't get to magic. That was a really strange thing, you know. It was like we had the craft, but we hadn't the magic. And to get to magic, we had to start experimenting again. And so songs like Miracle Drug came out. So we went back to things like City of Blinding Lights and allowed ourselves a wider palette.
Experimenting meaning... Improvising.
Yes, going back to improvising in the studio.
So
whereas for a guitar album, you sort of write with the guitar.
Uh-huh. So, again, a return to kind of classic U2 format.
Again. Early days format, like mid-80s almost. Bit of Unforgettable Fire, bit of War.
Of writing.
Yeah.
You recorded once as saying, I think there's a Rolling Stone who said, well, the punk thing doesn't work for me. I'd rather spend the day with Johnny Cash anytime.
Well, that's true of a lot of things. We should mention him in Zeropa, because there's a Zeropa. Mm-hmm. Last song in Zeropa. Mm-hmm. Written this song called The Wanderer. Mm-hmm. It's based on the book in the old Jewish books of wisdom. There's one called Ecclesiastes, or the preacher, mm-hmm. or the wanderer. So it's called The Wanderer.
For Johnny.
And wrote it for Johnny, and he comes to town while we're there. He comes in and sings it over an electronic. It's completely electronic. Can you imagine? In fact, I'd love to hear it again soon, because it's remarkable to hear his voice in a Bill Gibson sonic landscape, Brian Eno and things like that. It's amazing. That's a triumph.
At the end with the yeah.
Yeah. It's so great.
So me, what do you mean when you say the punk thing doesn't work for me? I'd rather spend a day.
Oh, yeah, it's just, you can only get so far with rage.
Uh-huh.
You need strategy. We're too wily and too emotionally all over the place to just make a regular guitar album. It's just in order to express how we feel, because the primary colors of rock and roll or punk rock are, you know, the primary colors, red, blue, green, whatever it is.
We're improvising. Right.
Okay, the three colors. And you can, and out of which you can mix them. But, you know, we like violet, and we like, mauve and turquoise, and, you know, our band just gets, you know, it's great, that red, a big E chord, red, mm-hmm. you know, blue, you know, bass, you know, that, those saxophone sounding guitars you get on those low strings, like cellos, and like, love all that, but we look for more dimension, I think. And I think there's a wild guitar affair coming up, because Edge has really come into something on this tour. So I'll be very interested to see what happens there. I think, though, the best collection of songs we've put together, there's no weak songs, really, on that album. But still, as an album, the whole isn't greater than the sum of the parts. It fucking annoys me. I don't know if that's the running order. I don't know what it is. And, there's a soft, amazing song, like A Man and a Woman. Mysterious Distance Between a Man and a Woman. Little Sister. It's a classic. You'll never see the light of day. Most people will not know it exists unless they're YouTube fans. It's got, you know, it's got Original of the Species. I'll play a mixer in a minute.
Are you feeling a release as a single?
Yes. And that's the killer mix. And we're going to do another Apple campaign with it. Because we just love that company. We love that company, and we see them as a radio station. And we see these adverts as videos. And, you know, we chose the filmmaker, Mark Romanek, made an extraordinary thing on Vertigo, and we're going to do something extraordinary here, too. But these are collaborators for us, not sponsors.
Tell me about Original of the Species, that song.
Starts out as a song written for my godchild Nedge's daughter, Holly. And it's a different, playful kind of a verse. That it turns into just a sort of, like a lot of the songs on that album, they're appeals to naivete. A sort of a rejection of knowingness. You know, some things you shouldn't get too good at, like smiling, crying, and celebrity. Some people got way too much confidence. That stuff. But it's not sentimental, so I kind of eroticized it a bit. You know, it's a lover's song, finally, for most people. But that's how it started.
It's great. That'll be a big.
I think that's going to be a big song.
When are you coming out with it?
Soon.
Two more questions on songs. The Bible, we've talked about a lot. How big an influence is the Bible on your songwriting? How much do you draw on its imagery, its ideas? Constantly. Is it because it's just always in the back of your... I mean, it's part of your intellectual bank of images. It's something you study a lot and comes out all the time.
Yeah, it sustains me.
As a belief or as a literary?
As a belief. I'm just the sort of character who, you know, I've gotta stay around I gotta have an anchor. You know, that kind of way. I want to be around immovable objects. You know, when I want to build my house on a rock. because even if there, you know, the waters are not high around the house, I'm going to bring back a storm. You know, it's like I have that in me. So it just it's sort of underpinning for me, and it seems to. Again, there's another Hebrew word. I think it's rima, where I don't read it as a historical book, or I don't read it as a, you know, well, that's good advice. I let it kind of speak to me in other ways. They could call it the rima. It's a hard word to describe, to translate in Hebrew, but it sort of means it changes in the moment you're in. It seems to do that for me. I mean, these are hard subjects to talk about, as you know, because they can sound like such.
You're saying it's a living thing.
Yeah.
And because of that, then the words are always resonant with you.
Yeah.
The words are always there for you.
Yeah, I guess. I think so. Yeah, they just it's just there. You know, I try to.
Firstly, everything is shot through with it.
I go back to it, you know, and I it's a plumb line for me. Mm-hmm. Though somebody, I think actually in the scriptures, it is itself described as a clear pool that you can see yourself in, that you actually get to see where you're at. And, you know, I'm writing a poem at the moment called The Pilgrim and His Lack of Progress. So I'm not sure I'm the best version for this stuff. but at least I know how far off I am. Whereas if I didn't go back to it, I'd think this was normal. So
what are your favorite? What are your favorite?
The poetry, the love songs of you know, if you're just talking about the scriptures, you know, Song of Solomon. You're talking about
great
lines or aphorisms, mm-hmm. which I also love. You know, ambition bites nails of success. Friend is someone who lets you help. All that stuff I put in the fly. Say, I love aphorisms, proverbs. I love that. The Psalms of David. They're the blues. Mm-hmm. You know. Yes, there's a big influence.
What are your favorite U2 songs?
Stay, we talked about. Miss Sarajevo, mm-hmm. which we recorded with Luciano Pavarotti. I'm singing...
both parts?
I'm singing both parts at the moment. I mention his name, and I'm introducing it to people. People start applauding him, thinking he's going to walk on stage, and I said, I'm sorry, he's not here, but I have put on a little bit of weight. Until the End of the World, Vertigo, Beautiful Day, Electrical Storm, there's another obscure one called Your Blue Room and Passengers, which is really haunts me. The work in the 80s, which I understand is at a very high level in terms of its, you know, it's melodically, and, you know, it's it really is strong stuff, but I just, all I hear is unfinished.
What are your lyrics. What are the three best U2 albums?
Joshua Tree, Atom Baby, and I think somewhere between. I mean, all that you can't leave behind is probably. I can't make my mind if that or this one. It'd be toss up between that or the Atomic Bomb. I think there's better songs. They're full of both of them. They're full of better songs than Acting Baby and the Joshua Tree, but they're not sonically as sophisticated.
Here is Rolling Stone editor and publisher, Jan S. Wenner.
What Bono stands for is unique, it's special, it's extraordinary, it's very much of these times. And to marry that musical voice with that conscience and that passion for justice and for saying something and that passion for music, you don't see that. I mean, it's unique in our times. It merits real high praise, real close attention, and it's an honor to be around when something like that's happening. It's a very special time in our lives.
And that's going to conclude the Rolling Stone interview with Bono. We hope you've enjoyed it. For more U2, visit rollingstone.com/U2. And for more podcasts, visit rollingstone.com/podcastbrowser.